All right. Welcome to the Sober as Shit podcast. I am Brandy and I am your host. On today's episode, we have with us Garrett, who is a sober warrior. Garrett, how are you doing today?
Hey, Brandy. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Awesome. So Garrett, now I mentioned you're a sober warrior, but how many days sober do you have? Do you count?
You know, I do count. I love the trackers. I love the apps. So I do check it. And this would be 277. Say 277. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, how about some background, just jumping from there? Your age, where you're from, if you're married, whatever you're comfortable with sharing.
So, yeah, I'm 44. And I've been married for 20 years, an awesome wife and two awesome kids. And, you know, we enjoy just typical suburban life. We have a lot of activities with the kids. We like to do just, you know, typical things. We take one or two vacations a year. And, you know, I like to ski, just stuff like that. A lot of tech stuff is what I also like to, what I'm into.
Awesome. So how has your family life been impacted so far with you gaining sobriety?
It's gotten a lot better. It's gotten a lot better. So with this time, and you know, I maybe we'll get into this later on down the line, but this is not my first time around the block in terms of sobriety. It's been a constant battle in my head over the past 20 years, but really more it's kind of this kind of quickened and increased that battle within the past, I want to say, 7 or 8. So the times where I'm not drinking are always better, but there's something about this time, which is the last time. You know, this is it. This is the last one I have in me, and this is the time that counts. So it's been just a lot better. The communication's gotten better. Communication is better. And sometimes that's not a pleasant thing, because there's a lot of things that you can hide in, like marriage dynamics when you're drinking. You know, she plays a role and I play a role. You know, I'll stuff some of my feelings and she'll stuff some of her feelings. So when you take that, you know, when you take that substance away, the communication comes out. You know, expect there to be a time where it's not always pretty. It's not always pretty, but in our case, you know, we are in a really good place right now, and it's just one of those aspects of life that is just so much better than it has been.
That's inspiring to hear. So you mentioned you have 277 days. So how did you get these 277 days? What made you stop drinking and give you this time that feels right and is your last time?
It was a feeling of really just my body, my soul, my mind, everything was just ready. In the previous times, you know, I've had 3 years and I've had 14 months in the past. There was always the internal conflict in the previous times of like, well, is this really what we're doing now? And is it really that bad? This time, it was a complete and total, you know, first step surrender type thing. I mean, this is it. This time, this is the last time. And something clicked in my head. It was a moment of clarity. And I realized that I needed help. I had had not a great experience in the past with a 12-step meeting. However, I knew that what I needed was other people and support. I know how, you know, I'm more extroverted. It feels good talking to people and being with people. And I knew that the key for me was joining up with a group. And so I started kind of listening to podcasts, and then I found Cafe RE podcast, hooked in right away, and I was ready. I was, you know, I was like a puppy dog, just jumping up and saying, let's go, let's start this group. You know, why is it only May 20th? Why is it June 1st? Can I join now? Why are we waiting? That type of thing. So pretty much from that point until now, I've been all in with, you know, the online recovery, you know, with Cafe Ari, I'm proud to be a shitter, you know, so with your group, Randy. And it's been fantastic. It's been one of the more interesting things and one of the more fun things and satisfying things that I've ever done in my entire life. It's been great.
That's amazing to hear. Yeah, there's something about Paul's voice that just like sucks you in and you're like, I want what this guy has. He sounds happy and perky and like his podcast is amazing. So did you hit a bottom or did you just reach the ability to surrender? Or both?
Yeah, I had a lot of like it was a cycle of the bottoms were always the hangovers. And if I could say there was one point, it was the you know, just missing. I think it was the way that I did it this last time, this last major difficult time, with being hungover and being unable to function. You know, I woke up, I knew I was sick. It was Easter Sunday. I knew that because my hangovers are debilitating. I mean, just debilitating. I can't. Some people are able to, you know, to function somehow. And, you know, I'm not a functioning guy. It's like, I am freaking laid out and I cannot move. So I just kind of like, I knew that Easter was gone. I knew that that day, Easter Sunday, was going to be just spending time in the nice circle of hell. My wife came in and I looked at her and I said, I was just completely honest with her. I said, I drank way too much last night and I'm hungover and I can't move and I'm not going to be able to go to Easter. And she just looked at me and just with a blank look on her face and just said, okay, turned around and left the room. And then I was just left to wallow in the psychological misery that I've never had before in my life. And, you know, it was that day that was as close to a bottom as I've ever had. So that was a rough day. And that was really, I didn't get sober the next day. It took a couple weeks after that. I think that was like April something, Easter, and then May 8th of 17 was my last day that I ever drank, or May 7th, whatever. So, yeah.
Yeah. Something about those spouses with that like blank look, it's like, it just eats away at you and you're like, mm-hmm. Okay, it's time for a change.
Yeah.
So did you try a rehab or have any type of intervention other than the blank stare of the wife?
No, I never, you know, and that's one of the things that I would always, those steps in this spectrum that we're on, in this yet scale, there were a lot of yets that I never got to. I never got a DUI. I never had a family intervention. I've never been fired from a job. And those are the most insidious thoughts and the thoughts that would take me out every single time, because I would always compare, well, I'm not like this guy. I'm not the guy that was forced to go to rehab. I'm not the guy that, you know, is spending, you know, that killed a mother of five and is serving time for manslaughter because he had too many drinks at the local bar. That had not happened. And now if I go out today and start drinking, absolutely is going to happen. Something is going to happen. I mean, it's just a matter of the yet. So, but back in the day, I would always compare it. I'm really not like this person. I'm really not that bad. And for me, that is the most insidious thought that would cause me in the past to go out and start drinking.
That makes sense. So what were your drinking habits? How much did you drink? How often? Because you mentioned the hangovers. So just trying to put the drink amount to the hangover.
Okay. So, and I've gone through many, many different phases, but in general, like on average, it would always be, it would start with a six pack or a bottle of wine. And I wouldn't get like the cheap beer or wine. That was one of the things, you know, it's like in my head, if it's fancier, in my head, if it's more, you know, if it's like an IPA or some bullshit, you know, or if it's like the not the $2 chuck, the more expensive wine, then it's okay. So it was always that, you know, I'd start with a bottle, I'd start with a six pack. And in my head, I was like, okay, I'm going to have two and that's it. Instantly, I'd have six, like just like snap of the fingers. And it was just quick. I mean, quick, like drinking water. So then at that point, I would start getting antsy and I would drunk drive to the liquor store and get another six pack. And then I would drink that. And at that point, you know, depending on what levels I was at in my journey of hell, depending on my tolerance levels, it would just basically keep going until till the room would start side shaking, and then I would just close my eyes. And then I would, you know, so that was it's about 12 beers or two bottles of wine, call it that. That's how much I was drinking.
Okay. Yeah, more than what we're supposed to drink for sure. So now that we've talked about like the drinking and that, what are a few rules that you live by now that you're sober? Because you mentioned those yets and you mentioned like the things that would get you back out to drinking. So what are the rules that you live by to keep you sober today, or some tools other than, you've mentioned Cafe RE and the shitters groups. Do you have anything else or?
Yeah, I've got, there's podcasts, other podcasts that I listen to, and, you know, the friends that I have in Cafe RE and your group, the Shitters group. So, the 12-step program, I'm kind of dancing around that. I had a bad experience, but, last time. So I'm kind of dancing around that, but really what it is I'm retraining my brain, it's something, it's hard to say, but I think that by going into this recovery, 100% this time and being so accountable, the accountability and it's the shame, like shame is a great motivator. So I'll play the tape in my head. What happens if I go out and I drink, you know, what's going to happen? And the incredible shame that I would feel, having to, you know, because I would admit it right away, and everyone would know, and just the shame involved with that, you know. This is a fantastic group, everyone would be super supportive and amazing, and everything would be great, and I'd get back up and dust myself off. But it's the accountability, that I have with, you know, I've told my boys, I've told, obviously I don't have to tell Tasha, but she knows obviously, and then other people that I've told. So it's the accountability, telling people at work, telling people in these situations and those situations, and then just having other stuff to do. So, and after a while, the cravings go away. And once the cravings are gone, it's a lot easier. You know, it's never is 100% easy, and it's never 100% a piece of cake or whatever. But once those insane cravings where, you know, your jaw hurts, you want to drink so bad. I mean, I would get that. I don't know if anyone else got that, but I would physically feel like pain in my mouth because I wanted to drink so bad. But that is completely gone now. So I don't know if that answers your question, but those are some of the things that I'm doing.
It did answer my question. And I loved how you added in that your jaw hurt, because like a lot of people always wonder, like, what are some of the effects of like coming off of alcohol as? So knowing somebody else is different is like huge. Just to start wrapping it up, what is your proudest sober moment?
So there's a few of them. I'll give you like two kind of quick ones. One is we were at the Depeche Mode concert, the Hollywood Bowl. And so we were going there in the Hollywood Bowl. Have you been to the Hollywood Bowl, Brandy?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know the whole thing there, where you're supposed to do, right? It's like, you get your wine, you get your picnic, and it's a beautiful night because it's always beautiful in LA. So we go there, and we've got our friends that are there, and they're of course getting wine. They're normal drinkers, and it's fine. It's no problem. And I was kind of worried about that, and I think that getting over that hump was huge. That was a very proud sober moment. It didn't really affect me that much. I was just like, okay, they're doing that, and I don't do that. And I didn't have the craving. My mouth didn't start. I didn't start drooling or anything like that. And then I was totally clear headed. And there was something about that music that was just so amazing. It's the first time I saw it in a concert. So that electronic music was just like trance like. And it was like, it was a way I was like, this fucking like, I feel like I'm high and I'm sober because this music is getting me into a trance. I'm like, this life is fantastic. And I like, you know, went over and I put my arm around Tasha. I'm like, this is fucking amazing right now. And, you know, I just like felt that. So the other one was spending time with my son recently doing a YouTube video. That was fantastic. Just little things that I would never do if I was still drinking are all just proud, super sober moments.
Those are amazing. And the final question, what is a piece of advice you would give to somebody new or debating becoming sober?
There are so many people that would love to just give you a hug and just wrap their arms around you. And we need that. What you're looking for is what you can gain by a group of sober people. There's nothing like it. Everybody is, you know, just so caring and they're loving and they're going to help you. So you just need to just embrace that and just say, I need help. And there are some incredibly smart people. And it's really a magical experience. And it's so much better than anything you could ever get from alcohol. So if you're ready, if the time is right for you, and if you're feeling like you need to do this, if you're done doing all the research, you know, to figure out if you're an alcoholic or not, and you're ready, there are so many people that are just dying to help you, and they are all just fantastic people. So do it.
Well, thank you so much for your interview. And on that note,